Accession number 27499, Mr. Pete Neville, Reel 3. Now, we're talking about your time on flying training school at Scone.
Scone, yeah.
What about your solo flight? Tell me, so he tells you it's yours. What happens then?
Well, suddenly it takes you by surprise, you know. When he thinks you're good enough, he'd get out and say, well, it's yours. And all you did, first of all, was what they call sockets and bumps. You know, you take off, fly around and land. And then
what was that like, first time on your own in an aircraft?
Well, it's a bit scary, really, because you think, you know, it's all mine, I've got to... But by then, you got used to it by then, because you had taken over with him sitting with you. But we're no longer there. You were on your own. You know, you really were on your own. Yeah.
What was it like being up there? I mean, some pilots wax lyrical about just flying. They just love it, you know, being up there, especially in the Tiger Moth. Yeah. Did you feel like that about it, or was it just a job to you?
Well, the weather wasn't terrific. So
it was winter, wasn't it? Or winter to spring. It was very cold.
Very, very cold. Open cockpit, you see. Very, very cold. I think that was the main thing about it. It just terribly cold, that's all. It would have been nice in the summer, I can imagine.
And how did you develop? So your circuits and bumps.
Yeah.
What next?
Oh, you'd already done some aerobatics with him, aerobatics, you know. And then whilst you were on your own, on occasions he would say, go up and do certain aerobatics, you know.
Now tell me about aerobatics. What aerobatics were you doing or trained to do?
Well, loops and banks and loops and that sort of thing, really. That's all I can think of.
Did you like doing aerobatics?
Yeah, I got used to it. Bit funny, first of all.
Do you remember how you made it loop? What would you do to make it loop?
Oh,
Tiger Moth.
Well, you have a stick. You haven't got a wheel or anything like that. It's a stick. And feet controls and things like that, you know. Well, it's by using the stick and also your feet controls. Yeah.
Okay. So what after that? So you solo flights. He sends you up to do the odd bit of aerobatics. Mm. What's the next stage of learning?
Oh well, from Tiger Moss, we went on to Miles Master.
I don't know that one.
That's another light aircraft, single engine, with a cabin.
So you preferred that?
Oh yeah.
What was it like to fly? I don't know that aircraft at all.
Yeah, it was very nice. Not as easy as it was with the Tiger. The Tiger was very easy. Miles Master is easier to move the manoeuvre, you know. We did some time on that, and then we started going on to twins.
Now, which was your first twin? It's all right, don't worry. It's a long time ago.
Yeah. Anson. Ah, yeah. Faithful Abbey. We used to call us Faithful Abbey. Anson.
Now, what did you think of the Anson to fly?
It was twins. You got used to twins then. It was a bit different. I mean, you went back with an instructor then for quite a long time. Also, you had other people sitting in. And with the Anson, to bring the wheels down. Have to do wound a handle by hand. About 150 turns to get your wheels down and water up. Well, somebody else did that in the back, you know. He took turns in doing that.
Did you have any trouble converting to twin engine? Or was it natural thing for you? You know, easy enough?
It got quite easy. You had to get used to it, of course. It was different. You know, twins were different to singles. Oh yeah.
What was the difference as a pilot? Was it just heavier, or what was it?
Oh yeah, heavier to control. A heavier aircraft to maneuver around. Yeah. And you had wheels instead of a stick. You know, that sort of thing. Half wheel instead of a stick.
Do you find that better, or
yeah?
They preferred the wheel.
Oh yes, wheel, yeah. And then from there we went on bow fighters.
Now what was your first of, because that's what you'd fly.
Yeah.
Now what was your first opinion of the bow fighter?
What a hell of a big aircraft. That's not what I thought, first of all. Heavy to manoeuvre. We did a lot on those too, because we were firing at buoys on the sea and that sort of thing, you know.
Now take me through. Can you describe the bow fighter a bit to us? I mean, just as you saw it inside and what it was like to fly and what the cockpit area was like.
There's not much room in it, and there's usually two people in it. There's a navigator and a pilot and the navigator.
That's all. Nobody else.
Nobody else, no. And in the bow fighter, the pilot sits on the left side, and the navigator is on his other side, with his back to you. Yeah, back to back.
And tell me about the what controls did you have? You don't remember. So don't worry if you don't. I mean, it's a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, airspeed indicator, height indicators, wind speed indicators. I can't really remember. It's a very long time. It's a long, long time.
What was it like to fly as an aircraft? I mean, was it manoeuvrable, fast and powerful?
No, it was heavy. It was heavy to handle, really, first of all. To handle. Well, heavier than I've been used to, of course. You know, everything else I've been used to, like the single and also the Anson, they were lighter aircraft to handle.
Now, was this bad that it was heavy to handle? Is that bad or good? I would have thought it was bad that it was heavy.
Well, something you got used to. Something you got used to. Later on, when we talk about mosquitoes, that's different altogether. It's a very light, manoeuvrable aircraft.
Did you like the bow fighter?
Oh yeah, got used to it. Yeah.
What were its qualities? I mean, what did you like about it?
Well, I suppose really and truly got with a navigator sitting next to you, a bit chummy, that's all there was to it. You could talk to somebody.
That was the best thing about it. What about its firepower? I mean, did you think it had enough power? Armament?
Armament? Oh yeah, well, originally it was just raining machine guns in the wings. No cannon in that one, just machine guns, that's all.
What sort of training? You mentioned you were doing some firing tests. Now, what was it, you know, firing at boys or whatever? What sort of tests were you doing?
Well, diving down at boys on the sea and firing at them.
Was it easy to be accurate or difficult? I mean, would you hit the target?
Most of the time, yeah.
Anything else you were doing? Any other sort of flying you were doing, or tests? You know, no, to get you up to speed.
No. I completed training on bow fighters. Then when you pass out, you know, you get your wings.
What do you have to do to pass out? Is it just sort of the whole course and you know, you
the whole course, so on every aspect, you're tested in everything. On the navigation, net, and all that sort of thing, but also the flying.
Cross country flights?
Oh, yeah.
And what did you pass out as?
Sergeant.
Sergeant pilot?
Sergeant. Well, sergeant, first of all, and then either become a navigator or a pilot.
And how did they decide? Yeah, I mean, you obviously.
They decide, yeah. I made it as a pilot. I was, you know, good enough to be a pilot.
That must have pleased you.
Yeah.
And
with some who didn't make it as a pilot, they then went elsewhere to be trained as navigators.
Now, where did you go? You know, was that the end of your training, or did you have more operations?
Yeah, no. The end of my training. We got as far as about July. What year would that be?
43.
Yeah, July 43.
So you'd been there about 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
So what happened now?
I was eventually posted to a cliff in South Devon, Bolt Head. There's Bolt Head and Bolt Tail.
And what is Bolt Head?
It was just an airstrip on top of a 400-foot cliff. Well, there were two airstrips at right angles to each other on the top of a 400-foot cliff.
And which squadron were you put with?
Wasn't a squadron. I wasn't with a squadron.
Still
I was with a, eh?
What were you doing? Was this training, more training, or what was
no,
it?
No, more training. I was there. I was operations then. And I was night fighters. It was a special flying unit because there were people there who would fly light aircraft in and out of France, taking agents in and out, and they flew a light German aircraft to do that.
Now, were you doing that?
No.
So they were there as well.
They were there as well, which made it a special flying unit. But as far as I was concerned, I was night fighters. And
now, what was it like, the RAF Bolt Head? I mean, you know, the bay, the flight's just a flying strip. Mm. What were the facilities like? I mean, was there a tower?
Well, there were only 16 of us. And they were all Australians, Canadians and New Zealanders, and I was the only British bloke amongst them. Well, first of all, I wasn't accepted. First of all, they didn't like me very much, you know, because they didn't like the British, didn't like the Royal Air Force very much. But after a while, they got to know me, and I was okay.
And what did you think of them? Because it's a two-way process.
They're great. Until the Aussies got drunk, they used to used to get funny. No, they were fine. We got on very well, didn't we? Yeah.
And where were you actually living on the base? It sounds like there wasn't much there other than a strip and a cliff.
Like a Nissen hut. A hut, you know.
What, for the 16 of you?
Yeah.
What was it like? Give us a description.
Well, the thing is that in the Air Force, in the Royal Air Force, officers and people like that would live and sleep and feed
it's about the hut.
Yeah, officers and that they sleep and feed together and that sort of thing. But with these Aussies and Canadians and New Zealanders, that we all bunked in together. You know, it didn't matter whether you're an officer or not. We all lived together, which was great. Which how it should be, really, because you know you take bomber crew. The skipper can be a sergeant, flying the aircraft, and of course when they get off, the officers go in one direction and sergeants go in other directions. I always thought that was wrong, but with the Aussies and Canadians, etc. You're all in together.
Now, when did you start? I mean, you were there as a night fighter to protect the base, was it? Or what was your job as a night fighter?
Well, I would patrol from the western tip of the Isle of Wight along to Land's End and then north to South Wales and then back again. So that was 1,000 miles each night.
So, now what were these patrols? Take me through a typical patrol.
Yeah, well, it was to protect that part of the coast from bandit bombers and people like that. Actually.
And you were fighting a bow. You were in a bow fighter.
Yeah.
Now, what was a typical patrol like?
Pretty boorish most of the time, and but it was always in the dark, you know. And but on occasions, I was interrupted by if I met bandits, you know, like German. Yeah. We were controlled. We were controlled actually by. We got our information through radar stations.
So they'd tell you as you were patrolling.
They knew where we were, and they knew where the others were, and they'd bring you in line with them. And then when we got to a certain distance, we could pick them up ourselves on our own radar on the aircraft, and then when you got close enough, the pilot would see what he was looking for, a shadow. That's all we look for, shadows.
Shadow on the ground, you mean?
No, shadow of aircraft.
In an
aircraft. Silhouette sort of thing, you know.
And I see what you mean. Do you remember any of the clashes in particular with you know, when you were directed onto somebody?
Yeah, on five. Well, the first time, I was a bit concerned first of all, because I was a very green young pilot, I'd had no experience of operation at all. And I was a bit concerned because, there were navigators coming with me, and they would probably think, well, this chap's green, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. So eventually, we went up one evening, and we were controlled onto a target, and I brought him down.
Now tell me the full story. I mean, what do you remember of it? I mean, it's difficult. It probably happened in a moment, matter of moments. But what do you remember of it now?
Well, we were told the height that we were and the height they were the position near enough they were relative to us. And so you started looking in that direction. And then the navigator, who actually was a radar operator, would pick them up himself on our airborne radar. And he picked it, he found it, he got it up, picked it up. So he would control me, you know, either bit left, bit right, or whatever. And eventually I saw this thing.
And what was it? Could you recognise what type it was from your record?
It was a Heinkel 111. Heinkel 111. Yeah.
Where were you approaching it from? Behind, above, below?
Behind. Below.
Below and behind.
And behind, yeah.
And had he seen you?
He couldn't have done, because I fired and there were no answering fire from him, so I must have hit his rear gunner very quickly.
What range would you aim at? What would start firing? How close would you get, roughly?
Probably about 500 yards or something. I was a bit too close the first time because the thing exploded and all the bits and pieces hit my windscreen, you know. It could have brought me down, you know.
So you fired at him, there was no response. How long did it take before it blew up? Was it a continuous burst you were firing? I'm just wondering how long it took.
Seconds, it would have been seconds.
So the gunner might not have had time to react anyway, the rear gunner.
I think I must have hit him. Either that or he may have lost his nerve. Because I found out later that a lot of these Their gunners in German aircraft were 15-year-old boys. He could have lost his nerve and, you know, he'd be hiding down in his... Yeah. Anyway, I've got no...
What could you see of the explosion? I mean, was it a dramatic explosion? It sounds pretty dramatic.
Oh, yeah. Well, as I say, it was like a shadow, first of all, and then it became a silhouette. And I fired from underneath, and I'd go for the rear gunner and an engine. That's what I'd go for. And of course, I must have hit the gunner, because I hit the engine, and that exploded. And suddenly, the rest of the aircraft exploded, and all the bits and pieces came hurtling back. And some of them were hitting the screen, the window screen. It was too close, really.
How did you feel having done this?
Frightened me to death. It did, it frightened me to death. And actually, I was trembling the next day. Oh, yeah. And the first time I'd ever done it, you know, of course.
Well, did it bother the... it's difficult to say this without sounding like some... Did it bother you that you'd shot someone down, or
I'd shot down an aircraft. I didn't think of the people in it. I mean, it could just... Later on, if you... I caught one once that was on fire.
Hang on, I will come back to that.
Yeah,
Do you know the date of this Heinkel 111 you shot down? What date that was? I doubt whether you can remember.
It's probably August.
It was in August, though. So yeah. Pretty soon after you got there.
Yeah.
August 43. So. Now, any other? So that's that. When you got down, you said you quite a bit of reaction then.
Yeah.
But you were all right, but you're just a bit trembling.
Yeah,
trembling.
Yeah. I was only 19, you know.
You were sent up again, sent straight up that night again?
Oh, no. I continued my patrol after that. I continued.
What I meant was next day, you'd have to go up again, though.
I used to fly every other night. 1,000 miles one night, and in the bar the next night.
I'll come back to the bar. We'll talk about that as well. Now, so what's the next incident you remember from these flights? How often were the incidents? You flew every two nights. How many times would you see something or something happen?
In the 10 months that I flew. In all, I knocked down 5.
Now that's a really good rate of.
Was, yeah, for a kid. Mm.
And for a night fighter as well, because it's difficult to find them. Do you remember them each? Which ones do you remember? Of those 5, or do you remember all 5?
One minute. Two Heinkel 111s, two HE 111s, a Junkers 88, a Junkers 188, and a Messerschmitt. I've forgotten what. Anyway, that was twin. A twin Messerschmitt. I can't remember the number.
Now, what do you remember of any of these combats? Hang on, we'll do that next.